This is a cybersecurity and cryptocurrency podcast. And now, here's your host, Eric English.
Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. This is episode number 35. Today is Tuesday, September the 25th of 2018. Some interesting developments in the cryptocurrency markets. I'm going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about Ripple's takeover of Ethereum in the market. We're also going to talk about Walmart. They're going to start using blockchain. We've also got some cybersecurity topics to touch on as well. But first, we're going to start out with cryptocurrency. One of the biggest things over the last few days, this happened last week, but Ripple overtook Ethereum. That is huge news. So pretty huge news for Ripple. Their stock prices went way up. I should say coin prices went way, way up. It's still under a dollar. So if you're looking to get into the market, Ripple is just killing everybody, it seems like. So definitely something to look out for there with Ripple. They just seem to be getting better and better and bigger and bigger. And they've overtaken Ethereum in overall market cap. And so overall market cap, in case you're wondering, is the total amount of money in the market for that particular cryptocurrency. I don't have the numbers right off the top, but it's way up there. It's in the probably in the billions somewhere. So it's a ton of money that we're talking about that Ripple is worth in total in the market. So that means that a lot of people are buying into what Ripple is doing. A lot of people are buying into their platform and buying into their crypto. And rightfully so. If you've watched anything that Ripple has done, they partnered with PNC Bank. They're in with Santander Bank. I mean, those right there are huge players in banking. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So Ripple is really looking to make a huge dent in the banking industry and help with all these, you know, cross-border payments and wire transfers. It's going to be a ton easier to send Ripple rather than write up a huge, you know, document on wire transfers. Now, there's still security controls and whatnot that you have to follow, security protocols, when doing those transfers. And that will never change. But hopefully Ripple can help with some of the paperwork. It can speed up the transaction process quite a bit. Wiring money is typically done twice a day, you know, typically at lunchtime and then right before end of day at 4 o'clock, depending on the bank, obviously. But that's typically when those wire transfers go out. And that sucks for somebody that's trying to wire some money and they need it to be there now. Well, Ripple's going to help with that. I'm definitely a big believer in Ripple. I like what they do. I like what they're doing for banking, and it'll be interesting to see where this goes in the next few years. But they just keep going up. They overtook Ethereum, so we just might see Ripple pass them too. And it's interesting too, these top cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and now Ripple and Ethereum, all of those except for Ripple are proof of work, which means you have to mine for that particular coin. And the mining is what also verifies the transactions and keeps the network synced up with the blockchain and all that good stuff. But Ripple does not do that. Now, Ripple is basically proof of stake. And the interesting part about Ripple is they have privately owned masternodes. And I thought this was really interesting that most of these proof of stake coins that come out, they want you to, you know, get as many masternodes with that coin as you can because it takes a certain amount of collateral up front to host those masternodes. Well, Ripple doesn't publicly offer that. However, they do state that they do have masternodes throughout the world, apparently, that are privately held by third-party companies and therefore makes it a decentralized platform. I'd love to know how much collateral you need to get in on that. And I'd love to host one of these myself. My guess is that you got to be way up there in the collateral. Collateral meaning you got to put up, you know, you got to buy so many coins and hold on to them, essentially. That's what all these masternodes do. If you're looking to get into any of the proof of stake coins, all the masternodes, they require you to hold on to a certain amount depending on the cryptocurrency. Some of them is 1,000, some of them it's 20,000, some of them it's 200,000. Again, it just depends on the cryptocurrency. Also depends on the price of the crypto and their roadmap and all that kind of good stuff too. So The upfront collateral for Ripple, I'm guessing, is just massive. I can't imagine what that would be, but if you can think about how much money those masternodes are making, if they get some sort of a cut, which typically they do, that's the whole reason that you run them, you get some sort of incentive to run them, makes you wonder how much those guys are making on those. And it makes you wonder how you can get in on that. I mean, how do you go to Ripple and be like, hey, man, I want to host one of your masternodes? You know, the average person, they're just going to say, no, we're not going to do that. I wonder if through these partnerships that they're doing with these banks, if they're letting these banks host these masternodes as part of the deal, you know? I think that would be interesting to see. Anyway, I want to get in on one. I want to set one up, but, you know, I don't have millions of bucks to put up for collateral either. But anyway, Ripple's making huge, huge, huge changes in the market, and they're making a huge dent. But if you're not in on Ripple, now is probably the time. It's still under a dollar. I've been saying this for the last year to all my friends. It's been, I sound like a broken record probably to all my friends, but I keep telling them to get into Ripple. And heck, it was in the 30 cent range, 28 cents, I think, just a month and a half, 2 months ago. I mean, that's pennies on the dollar compared to what it will be in the near future. I don't know what it's going to be in the near future, but it's bound to go up. I mean, if they're third largest, it's bound to go up. Their value is bound to go up. And it did a little bit. You know, they're in the, I want to say they're in the 50 cent range right now. So it is going up, but it's going to be over a dollar and way over a dollar pretty soon. I just don't know when. Some other cryptocurrency news. I saw that Walmart, of all places, is partnering with IBM Blockchain. And essentially, Walmart went to all of its suppliers and told them that they need to be using blockchain by next September. So September of 2019. They're giving all their suppliers 1 year to move to blockchain. Now that is a pretty heavy demand, and I think that's interesting that Walmart is demanding that of their suppliers. But it just shows that blockchain technology is not going anywhere. It's going to continue to integrate into a lot of our systems, and you're just going to see it get bigger and bigger. And for those that don't believe it, that's fine. It's going to be there anyway, whether you like it or not. So you might as well embrace it. You might as well get in on it. And if you're coming up through school right now and you're wondering what to get into, there's two fields right now that are just booming. One is cybersecurity and one is cryptocurrency or blockchain. And if you can get into one of those two fields, man, sky's the limit. You get in on those now. Those are the two hot industries right now. There's a huge lack of cybersecurity professionals, and as you can tell with all the breaches that happen every day, there's not enough cybersecurity pros out there working for these big companies. And blockchain just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. IBM has their own. Microsoft has their own. Microsoft has an Ethereum blockchain that you can spin up that's proof of stake, which I thought was interesting. You don't have to mine or anything, but that's in their Azure cloud-based platform. So if you're interested in blockchain, even if it just, you know, barely interests you at all, and you're curious and you think it'd be a cool thing to work in, now's the time. And it's so hard when you're young to figure out what exactly you want to do, what path do you want to take. That's always the hardest thing, figuring out what that first job is going to be, figuring out what industry you want to work in. That was probably the hardest decision I had to make when I was a kid because I had no idea. But I just kind of morphed into where I am today, but I wanted to get into IT at first. So, but anyway, those are the two big industries right now. If you're trying to break into an industry, I'd pick one of those two straight out of college. But anyway, if you want to check out more of the blockchain offerings, you can go to IBM's website. You can also go to Microsoft Azure and spin up this Ethereum blockchain in their Azure platform. Overall, really cool stuff. But back to what I was saying earlier about those top cryptos being proof of work and having to mine for those, it makes me wonder when Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or Ethereum will move to proof of stake, because mining is just, it's not scalable. It's just not. The amount of energy required to do the mining, the amount of cooling and systems that you need to do even just to make a little bit on it, there's right now there's no incentive. If you're mining for Ethereum right now, you're losing money. And that's plain and simple. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And even though, you know, Bitcoin had some dips in their price, they are still increasing in hash rate. So I thought that was really interesting. I did not think that Bitcoin would be continuing to improve their hash rate, but they have. And they keep going up and up and up. And I just wonder who is continuing to invest in this. And it just makes me wonder when these are going to finally move to proof of stake and move to masternodes. Masternodes are way more scalable. It's way more efficient as far as energy goes. And it's the way of the future with crypto. And it just makes me wonder when those are going to get there. And I don't know why they've stuck with proof of work unless, you know, they're still trying to develop whatever their product is. I don't know. But, I mean, you can still develop your product even if you're on proof of stakes. I don't understand why these guys don't move to something like that. You can continue the incentives for people that run the masternodes just like you are with mining. And it's a lot friendlier on the environment. And you don't have to have 12 GPUs running in your garage for the average person. Or, you know, a data center or data warehouse full of GPUs just mining away. Or ASIC miners. And, you know, you're just burning up electricity, too. The only way you can make money mining right now is if you are mining and you have your own building of some sort and you can put solar energy on it, you're just, you know, only using solar energy, then, yeah, you can make some money mining. How many people are actually doing that? I don't know. I don't think there's many. But same thing with Bitcoin, too. I mean, if you don't have solar energy helping to reduce your energy costs, I don't know how you're going to mine. I just don't. So I do wonder when these are finally going to move to proof of stake. I'm hoping they do at some point because I'd like to get in on these masternodes. And the masternodes also promote holding the coin. So if you think about that, that keeps the money in the market. So if you have thousands of masternodes and each one has to hold, you know, 3,000 coins, well, that can be a lot of money that's just staying in the market, not being cashed out or traded away. So there's lots of benefits to moving to proof of stake, but I'm not here to convince Ethereum and Bitcoin of that, but it just makes me wonder when they're going to move to it. I'm done mining. It's just pointless. Just burning up my electricity bill for little or no payback. And I've turned off all my gear and moved straight to masternodes and been a lot more profitable just in the last, you know, few weeks that I've been doing it. It's been way more profitable than mining. So I think I'm going to stick with that until otherwise. You know, maybe there'll be some new crypto that comes out that mining for is actually useful. But as of right now, mining is completely pointless and you're losing money, not enough value. Speaking of value, Ethereum's value, while I reported a couple weeks ago that it was going to start tanking, it actually came back a little bit. I was a little surprised. And as I've said before, the price of Ethereum usually flows right with Bitcoin. And Ethereum came up to about 230 and stayed there even with some of the recent price dips in Bitcoin. Bitcoin was trading around 6,500-ish, but, you know, Ethereum stayed around 230, even when Bitcoin was up to 5,800 and then dipped to 5,400, Ethereum stayed right there. So I thought that was good news for Ethereum. Although the market's still gloomy on Ethereum, maybe this is a good sign that they're trending upward again, and maybe there's some more faith in the Ethereum market. Still yet to be seen, but hey, that's good news for anybody that's holding a whole bunch of Ethereum. So on to cybersecurity news topics. There's quite a few things going on, and I want to make sure I just hit on the most interesting news topics, to me at least, over the last... Also, too, I forgot to mention, we were talking about Ripple overtaking Ethereum. It was temporary. Ethereum did come back up above it, but it's done it a couple of times now where Ripple went up above Ethereum. So forgot to mention that earlier there, so I want to make sure I got that in. But jumping over to cybersecurity stuff, Bitcoin, this is kind of a crossover story, Bitcoin patched a huge DDoS flaw, and they kept it pretty well under wraps. Not a whole lot of people knew about the flaw, but apparently it was a pretty big deal Lots of news sources were reporting on it. And if exploited, it apparently could have taken down the majority of the Bitcoin network for a DDoS attack. So that's pretty scary stuff, but it's good to hear that they've already fixed the bug in their code to prevent that moving forward. But I certainly thought that was interesting news for the Bitcoin folks. If you ever use the Kodi media player, it's now being targeted for malware. Cyber criminals are starting to exploit those. So you'll have, typically on Kodi, you've got various quote-unquote plugins that you can install that allow you different streams of video and whatnot. So these hackers are essentially using this, using those plugins to install malware instead of an actual video feed. So heads up on that if you do use Kodi. I know a lot of folks have hacked their Amazon Fire Stick and replaced it with Kodi, all that kind of fun stuff. But if you use it, be careful there with those plugins. Make sure you don't install something that's going to end up infecting your computer. Some other news here about Twitter. They exposed a whole bunch of direct messages, DMs, as they're otherwise known as, through an API, and this was all exposed to external developers. It was exposed for a short period of time, but, or so they say, and nobody knows whether or not it was accessed outside of, you know, just those external developers. So that's certainly a scary thing for Twitter there, but they say they fixed their API. So again, watch out for those APIs. I've said it before, if you expose any sort of API, make sure you know exactly who it's exposed to and what it's exposing, and put some sort of authentication on it if you can. I understand that a lot of these APIs are just open, and that's fine too, but there should be some sort of, you know, authentication there. Oftentimes you use API keys and whatnot, depending on the nature of the data, obviously. But just be careful with those APIs, folks. That's a big attack avenue for hackers as well. So Twitter had that happen to them, but they say that they fixed it, so that's good. But as always, watch out for those APIs. It's just a never-ending thing. If you shop at a place called Shein, S-H-E-I-N. I've never heard of them, but apparently it's a women's clothing line or clothing online clothing store. They got hacked, and 6.4 million customers' data was compromised during this hack. Yet again, just another hack that's going on every single day of every single week. There's a new hack happening, and it just never ends, it seems like. But if you use Shein, or you've ever shopped there with them, now's a good time to contact them and see if your data was exposed, because it very well could have been. So heads up on that. Make sure that you're not affected by this. That's pretty much all I had for today. Just going to kind of keep it around the newsworthy topics. Later on this week, I'm going to have an episode dedicated to one cybersecurity topic, some of the stuff that I've been working on. So we'll do that as well. That'll be later on in the week. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter. Again, it's at eEnglish34 on Twitter. You can follow me on there. You can find our show on iTunes and Google Play. So check it out on either one of those platforms. Download and subscribe. If you have any feedback for me, or you'd like to like me to talk about a certain topic on the show, tweet at me on Twitter, and I'll certainly get to that as quick as I can. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again later this week.